This is Larissa Adame for Spot 127, and welcome to the Game On Podcast. Today we'll be having a chat on the subject of the indie game scenes. We also have a special guest joining us today, a fellow student at Spot 127, and an avid gamer, Hamlet Lemus. Alright, first question. Do you know what indie games are? If so, could you describe what they are?
Indie games are games that are developed by independent developers and studios. And what that means is that typically people make a distinction, although it's kind of a loose distinction, between independent developers and more popular, quote-unquote, AAA developers. So while there isn't really a clear-cut definition that's set in stone, what you could say is that indie games are games that are developed on a small budget, sometimes crowdfunded, and which have a less restrictive kind of feel to them because of lack of regulation on the studio's part.
All right, that's pretty interesting. How are indie developers differ from AAA corporations such as Nintendo or Sony?
Well, there are a couple key differences. The whole definition of AAA is that it means that the studio has a higher budget and higher notoriety. So, you know, the big three that are in the market right now, Nintendo, Sony, and Microsoft, they have probably the most popularity of any other studio in the world right now, which develops games. So they have the most budget as they create the most revenue with their products. And when people refer to AAA games, it kind of bears this connotation of high quality and higher resources. Independent studios have to advertise their games on their own. They don't really have the budget for any kind of advertising mogul to help spread awareness of their titles, and they have less resources to work with. You know, usually they'll be working with a smaller studio, not as many assets. They'll have to, like I said, they'll probably have to crowdfund a game because they don't have the same kind of large-scale budget that comes with being a AAA developer.
How does the path to success differ for indie game developer as opposed to AAA developers?
Well, AAA developers, as I mentioned before, have enough money to hire advertising agencies, which can make commercials and other kinds of advertisements, you know, like YouTube ads, things you see on websites, whatever, that can spread awareness of a game incredibly easily. And on top of that, they already have notoriety for being AAA developers. You know, you're not typically going to see people being like, what's this Nintendo thing? You know, but with indie developers, it's a lot harder to get your game out there because you're fighting against thousands, potentially thousands of other developers who are also trying to promote their games, who don't have some kind of giant following already installed. Their fan base is at first probably made up of only their friends and family. You know, mom goes out, play my Georgie's game, please. You know, they don't really have the kind of draw that Nintendo or Sony already have. So it's already difficult because these kind of introverted programmers who want to make a game and put it out there are having to double play as their own advertising agency. And that can be difficult, as we've seen with various examples of indie developers kind of failing in that aspect. And also, just it can be difficult to finance a game in general when you're not a giant corporation. So a lot of times you'll see games that are given a lot of money through crowdfunding, but when you put it that into perspective, the game fails because even like $100,000 is a scant amount to work with when you're trying to create an entire video game.
And I agree with you on that subject because many people know what Nintendo is. Mm-hmm. I have Nintendo DS, and while most of my games are in the Pokemon series, that brand is very advertised, and you see it everywhere, and even has their own TV show, as opposed to indie games, like, they have to be lucky in order to be noticed.
Yeah, and you're not typically going to see indie games with their own Saturday morning cartoon shows.
Yeah.
Not like Pokemon or anything like that. And although it's not as hard for indie developers as it used to be, because now there are more outlets where people purposefully go to find independent independent games, such as, you know, the platform Steam.
Yeah, speaking of Steam, you're right that Steam allows you to promote games and distribute your games on their platform with the permission of the Valve company, which goes into our question, how important do you think communication with Steam is to the modern indie developer's success?
Well, first let's establish what Steam is. So there's this company back in the year 1996. It was founded in 1996 by Gabe Newell. It's called Valve. And Valve is, in its own respect, an independent game developing company. Valve has released such hits as Half-Life and the Portal series. And Valve actually does a lot of work to promote other independent developers. So, for example, Portal, one of their more well-known games, was actually a spiritual successor to this game called Narbacular Drop. It was made by a small team of college students at the DigiPen Institute of Technology. They came together and they decided to make their own game, entitled Narbacular Drop, which was themed around transporting the character through portals. So Valve, while scoping the scene for some independent developers, picked up on Narbacular Drop and hired the team to make a spiritual successor, and that eventually became Portal, which was released in 2007. And that game became so popular that it was succeeded by Portal 2 in 2011. And it actually received its own spin-off comic along with that. And incredible success in the independent games market. So Valve, very, very progressive when it comes to promoting other independent developers. And as such, in the year 2003, it released this kind of platform for gaming called Steam, where independent developers can go and, if given permission by Valve, can upload their games for distribution. And other people go on Valve all the time. Go on Steam all the time, and just look out for new independent games from lesser-known developers. So I would say that Steam is almost a quintessential resource for the modern independent developer, because it's such a nice community website that is built around promoting lesser known games. You really can't expect to sell a lot of games this day and age unless you get it distributed through Steam. It's almost like if you want to distribute emails, you have to go through Gmail or Yahoo or something like that. You know, it's become an all-encompassing platform.
So what would you say are some positive examples of indie games? In other words, some quality and or popular games.
Well, as I mentioned before, Valve has released quite a few very quality games. And by quality, I mean they have nice production value. They a lot of times you'll see with independent developers, as I mentioned before, their budget does not allow them to succeed in many respects with their games, so a lot of features get left out. But games that, you know, deliver everything that they promise, they have a nice kind of packaging and production value. Obviously, Portal, again, released in 2007, succeeded by its sequel, Portal 2, in 2011. Then we have Bit Trip. That's bit and then period trip, which was released by Gaijin Games. It is a long-standing series of independently made games that has had great success, starting with the first game, Bit Trip Beat, released in 2009, and with the final installment in the series, Bit Trip Flux, which was released in 2011. And then we have companies like WayForward, which are one of the most well-known independent developers working today. They have garnered great success with their Shantae the Magic Genie series. There have been four installments since the year 2002, and the Mighty series, and that includes Mighty Milky Way, Mighty Flip Champions, Mighty Switch Force 1 and 2, and there have been four installments of that as well since the year 2009. We have the Five Nights at Freddy's series, which is under a lot of deliberation as to whether or not it actually is a quality game, but at the very least, you can say that it has very nice production value. Those were released by the developer Scott Cawthon, all on his own, may I mention, which is an exceedingly difficult task to accomplish, creating a series of popular games with one developer. The first was released in 2014, and it has become so popular that now there's even a spin-off book, a short novel, that was published in December of 2015. Then obviously we have the more well-known examples, such as Super Meat Boy, which was released by Edmund McKillen and Tommy Rafanes under the guise of Team Meat in 2010. And we have Fez by the developer Phil Fish, which was released in 2012. Both of those are notorious, by the way, because they were featured in a movie entitled Indie Game, The Movie. And we have Minecraft, which is probably the best-known example, released by Marcus Persson, better known online as Notch, under his company Mojang in the year 2011. Those are just a couple of examples of really, really good games.
You're right. I heard a lot of those games, and I even played some of them, and I enjoyed playing them a lot. And while that is very great, but there are also some other indie games who have not been so lucky with trying to come up with either being popular or in quality. So which goes into our questions. Do you know some examples of negative examples of indie games?
Well, I just mentioned Fez, created by Phil Fish. Fez, there's a lot of controversy surrounding that. And this actually ties into the whole, you know, what makes a game successful question, because Fez 2 was a planned sequel that was to be released after Fez was released. But Phil Fish, yeah, I mentioned before that a lot of times independent developers will have to be their own advertising teams. That can work out to their detriment because Phil Fish garnered a lot of controversy on Twitter because, you know, through some unspecified debacles, he went on rant after rant after rant on the internet, talking smack about his fans and just being a generally unlikable personality, to the point where he had to cancel Fez 2 because he was becoming such a hated figure. You know, we have that, and then debatably, the Five Nights at Freddy's series, even though I listed the first couple games as examples of good games, has deteriorated a lot because of the fan base. The fan base has a lot to do with the game's success, and a lot of people were turned off of the series because of a fan base that was seen as completely obnoxious. And other examples include, I could sit here and list off a bunch of games to you, but really, I think that the most monumental kind of non-successes of indie games include things that you've probably never even heard of, because so many times in this competitive industry, games will not be finished, not be completed, such as Mighty No. 9, the spiritual successor to the Mega Man series. It was made by the same man who created the Mega Man series initially in 1980. It started off very nice, but then as the development team underestimated the costs of production, it just debilitated more and more. It started to be delayed more and more until eventually the final product was released and nobody was satisfied. So, you know, among those, I would say that those are probably the worst examples of independent games.
Yeah. And while we're on the subject, like, what are some of your favorite indie games?
Well, a lot of my favorites are ones that I already mentioned. A really good example of a recent indie game that a lot of people like is Undertale. It was released by Toby Fox in the year 2015. It is exceedingly popular, and for good reason. It has great production value. It's got nice graphics, though limited, of course, because of the budget of the game. It's got nice graphics. It has great music, a great soundtrack. It's got really good gameplay. And, you know, of course, there's going to be deliberation about this. But in my personal opinion, it was a very, very nice game.
I can agree with you, and though there are some fan base that try to like make it seem so meh, mm-hmm. it's still like pretty good, and I would recommend you listeners to go and play this game. It's really great, and I'm pretty sure you'll like some of the characters that they delivered. So that will be all for this edition of the podcast. Sorry you guys had to hear us nerd out. Yeah. So thank you for joining me, Hamlet.
Thank you for having me, Larissa. It was fun to talk about games with you.
This is Larissa Adame for Spot 127, and we'll see you next time.